I guess one of the things about bevacizumab is that potentially it offers something to the patient who doesn't have either an ER-positive or a HER2-positive tumor, in other words, a triple-negative tumor. And so in these new trials trying to look at this agent, although, you know, they're looking at it in all different types of situations, I guess one of the issues is that maybe now we have some type of targeted therapy that might be helpful to these patients with triple-negative tumors. Any thoughts?
I'm not sure that there's a whole lot of data that bevacizumab would be more active in triple-negative tumors than in other subsets of breast cancer, but as you say, there really is no targeted agent there. So to the extent that it has activity beyond that of standard chemotherapy, it potentially will be very useful. And it's so interesting when you reflect on the HER2 population now, who went from what was arguably the worst population and now potentially the best population with the use of anti-HER2 therapy. So now we're left with the triple negatives who have a very poor prognosis and aggressive types of cancers. So I think if bevacizumab has activity there, just by virtue of the fact that the activity is low with standard chemotherapy, it will be a benefit. Now, there also needs to be further research into the possibility that the pathways that are involved in patients that have triple negative basal type cancers may in fact have an increased propensity to autogeneration of VEGF and to impacting the angiogenic pathway. There is some data there, and we just need more.
You mentioned that the trials looking at bevacizumab being added to chemotherapy and metastatic disease at this point are showing a progression-free survival advantage, and really right now we don't know what the effects is going to be on survival. And you talked earlier about the idea of endpoints in the trials and looking for progression-free survival as opposed to response rate. What do you think it means at a human level for a patient to have greater progression-free survival? In other words, a longer time before they have to switch to another therapy. How does that play out clinically?
I think that's a key point, Neil. We were focused for a long time at looking at x-rays and CT scans and showing shrinkage. We use the RECIST criteria today, which uses a fixed point of a 30% shrinkage in the diameters of the lesions that we're measuring as a endpoint. That has very little human impact. There are many patients who are totally asymptomatic from disease that's measurable and could be symptomatic from non-measurable disease. What's important to them is, number one, how they feel. Number one is how they feel. And so does a therapy prolong them feeling good or having least amount of toxicity from both their treatment and specifically from their cancer? And the best surrogate from a clinical trial perspective is probably progression-free survival there. I would, though, advocate that quality of life endpoints are important in breast cancer trials and, in fact, all clinical trials with cancer. We've been thrown a little bit of a curveball now from the FDA, who has now decided that there are no criteria for measuring quality of life which meet up to their snuff. And that's, I think, very disappointing because there are many established tools of quality of life that have been validated and should be accepted for proving that patients can have improvement in their fatigue, improvement in their pain, certainly, and their overall quality of life. So that's a concern going forward. But in terms of looking at what's the hard endpoint to measure for a breast cancer patient, it's not only how long they go on one chemotherapy, and of course, the hard endpoint is how long they live overall, but how they feel and how well you control their symptoms with the therapy. So the best aggregate endpoint right now, I believe, is progression-free survival rather than response rate. And again, particularly as we move away from cytotoxic therapies who were designed to shrink a certain fraction of tumors, although rarely to have a complete response, the response rate probably has less meaning as we move into the biological therapeutic arena where tumors are more often kept cytostatic rather than actually shrunk.